Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Get over there with me if you would. And I'm going to talk to you about the spiritual battles that we're in, and it is a spiritual battle. We know that. We know the Scriptures caution us in that, and we know what our weapons are, and that's what I'm going to deal with. I'm going to tell you what we've got. Now, folks, we are, and we've preached on from Ephesians, and we'll be going back there a little bit tonight too. But we're in a battle, and it's for, I know the president says it's for the soul of America, and to him the soul of America is the right to kill babies. He's so delusional. He's the president, but he's so delusional. That's not the soul of America. The soul, if America has a soul, and America is the only soul they have, is Americans. And our soul is one that's been created by Almighty God. He gave us our image. We all bear the image of God, every one of us. We're created in His image. We're made in His image. And with that in mind, Satan hates you. One reason is mainly because that you are made in the image of God. So anything he can do to destroy an individual, he can laugh in the face of God and point a finger in the face of God and say, I've just destroyed one of them made in your image. I truly believe every time he sees a human being, as Satan looks around on the earth, sees human beings, reminds him of God because we're made in the image of God. And he hates us for that reason. If there's any soul in America that we have as Americans, we're created in the image of God, and we're put here, Jeremiah says very clearly, to glorify God. And our founding fathers knew that. They understood that. And this battle that we're in, Paul addresses it not only in Ephesians 6, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And the main battleground, as we mentioned last week, I just started in on this thought and probably won't get it finished tonight. But the battleground is our mind. What we have in here is a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs tells us that. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12 says that our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not clothed in flesh and blood. The warfare that we are fighting, the foe we're fighting, and it is a warfare, is not flesh and blood. We know that. Being saved, thank God that we are born again, we have the blessed Holy Spirit living in us, but being saved does not mean that the battle is over. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and you're close enough to chapter 11. Let me read you a verse here, chapter 11, verse number 3. Paul says, but I fear, he's talking to the church, talking to the believers, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, baited her, deceived her, lured her away through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simple, from the simplicity that is in Christ. Or really, it's a, you know, folks says, well, it's just Christ, it's just simple is what he's saying there. No, he's talking about a single-mindedness. He's talking about your focus here. He says, the serpent got Eve off focus of the greatness of God, the greatness of the Lord. And in so doing, he deceived her. Who'd ever thought that'd been possible? But it was. So a single-minded devotion and focus on Christ. The world is doing their best. Pastor Josh mentioned this morning in his message of how, you know, all of the YouTube sites and has all kinds of things to distract you, and social media, everything. You just pick up a cell phone and you're wondering, what on earth did I pick this up for? Because there's all kinds of advertisements and things on there, and get this app and get that app. If you're like me, the more I pick that thing up, and we like it, the fact we got a little computer in our hand, we can talk and we can text and we can do that. That's convenient for us. But by the time you look at all these things that's flashed up there, you're thinking, what did I even get on this thing for? What was I going to do? Who was I going to call? You know, what was I going to text somebody? Was I just picking up my phone to see what flashed up? But how easily we're lured away, and Satan is so good at that. So keep in mind, number one, I am. I am a Christian. I am a believer. Does that mean the warfare is over? No, I think it's actually beginning because we belong to the devil to start with. Now, I mentioned last week, and we'll read this verse again in a moment, how that Paul talks about casting down imaginations, those argumentative reasonings he's talking about here. And I told you what imaginations were. Some of you actually understood my purple camel story, didn't you? Yeah, thank you for understanding that. Some other folks says, poor delusional Brother Brad, I mean, you know. But Bob, I just told them that when I was younger, I was maybe four or something like that. And I woke one morning, I'm clear as bell, I can remember it right now, just like it happened yesterday. I woke one morning, early in the morning, barely daylight. Mom was sleeping in the bed with me, probably trying to keep me asleep. Of course, I woke up, and I'm sitting up in the bed. I pull the curtains back. I look out the curtains, and this is the truth. There stood a purple camel over there with polka dots on him. Now you say, oh, you're dreaming. That's what Tony said. Of course, he wouldn't know. What would he know, Bobby? Man, he wouldn't know. You know, you were dreaming. I wasn't dreaming. I knew what was going on. And I was trying to see, and the guy, there was not only a purple camel, but a fellow had been riding it. And he got off the camel, and he was down there fooling around where we kept the dog's food. I don't know why. He was trying to give that camel the dog's food. I don't know. But anyway, he made eye contact with me. We looked at each other, and I frowned at him. I thought, you know, here I am, four years old, and I wanted to get a BB gun at 4 years old. I'm going to shoot this guy that's out there with a purple camel. Wow. You know, think about getting a bit. Okay, anyway, there it was. I laid back down real quick, and I thought, man, I'm not going to let him fool around with that. I jumped up again, pulled the curtain back, and of course, he'd already rode off on his purple camel. I didn't tell you that part. Now, you said, preacher, you were only a man. You had to have dreamed that. You'll never convince me that I was dreaming. But I was convinced of what I saw. Now, was that imaginations? That's not the same imaginations he's talking about here. Let's read some verses. Verse number 3, 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they're greater than that. Hallelujah. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing these things down, casting down imaginations, and it wasn't my imagination, but anyway, I'll give place to that. But these imaginations are the arguments. One translator says it's argumentative reasonings, and isn't that what is attacking us today? All of the reasonings, all the reasons you shouldn't go to church, all the reasons you shouldn't read your Bible, all the reasons you shouldn't focus on Christ, all the reasons to take your mind and your attention away from the Lord, all those arguments, and Satan did exactly the same thing to Grandmother Eve and Grandfather Adam. That's exactly what he did. He says, you cast these things down, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and that simply is speaking of those things, again, that says, don't look to God, don't trust God, those things that the world would elevate above God. Even as the president said, the real soul of America is the freedom to have abortions. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that is a senseless statement. We know that's a statement that has absolutely demonic origin in it, whether the president said it or who said it. It still does. And where would he ever get a thought like that? Where would that come from? Well, we know God didn't send it, and we know it didn't come from our founding documents. We know it didn't come from any of our documents as our nation's founded on. It didn't come from the Scriptures. Where on earth could it have come from? It came only from the suggestion of Satan, these argumentative reasonings and exalting high things against the knowledge of God. And he says, cast these things down, throw them away, cast it down, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring into captivity every thought. Now think about it for a minute. I'm going to give you a few things real quickly here tonight. You can jot them down and, and we won't turn to all the scriptures, but remember our warfare is against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's against demonic powers. That is our warfare. And we mentioned already, being saved doesn't mean that we're free from the attack. Paul says he's jealous over us here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul says here simply this is, I want to protect you. As a father wants to protect his daughter and her purity, I want to protect you. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He wants the church at Corinth, man, he wants them to be totally right with God. Now, if Paul had that feeling for this church, and God then has twice that feeling, 10 times that feeling, 1,000 times that feeling for me and for you individually, that's his desires to protect us and to keep us from following the bait or the allurements of Satan or these argumentative reasonings that's out there attacking our kids and our families. And moving, another thing I've noticed is a moving of the authority of the parents away from the children. Take the children out from under the parents. Take the children out of the church. Get them out from under the authority of the church, out from under the authority of the parents. Move them over here where they become simply an object. And that object, the government, I'll take that. You parents, you're out of that. You're not in the picture anymore. There's states in these United States of America. There are states that says if your teenage child or even younger than that, 11 to 12 year old, if they decide that they want to change their gender, then they don't have to tell mom and dad. They can just get a ride to California or to another state. And we'll protect them. We won't inform mom and dad of anything we're going to do to them, surgery or anything else. We will not tell mom and dad anything. We'll give them that right. Now, that's right here in the United States of America. In Canada, they introduced a law. I hope it doesn't pass, but it was introduced last week. They introduced a law where that a child, could decide they wanted assisted suicide. And they would take the child into the hospital or wherever and never tell mom and dad what was going on and assist the child in suicide if this law passes. Now, it's introduced. I pray it doesn't pass, but what I'm saying is you see how Satan has so twisted the mind and the understanding of folks, exalting himself above human life, above the parents' role over the children, above that authority and the authority of the church, where the church says, wait a minute, here's what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says this, therefore this is what we're going to do. There was a time in America when the church was the conscience of America. If the church said, you don't do this, there wasn't a politician that would ever pass a legislation that the church wasn't for. And that's been gone now since the days of the Warren Court in 62 and 63 when the Supreme Court, there was attack against the Bible and against prayer. They took both out of the schools, taking the authority away from the church and saying, no more church, you're going to be the conscience. We're going to remove prayer. We're going to remove the Bible. I know the church says that's what you're supposed to do, but we're not going to have it. And then 1980, the Ten Commandments came down. And so we had an all-out attack, an all-out war. Get all this out from under the church. Remove that authority of the church. Now remove the authority of the parents, where we'll just take your kids as an object. We'll do whatever, and we'll protect them. How on earth would our minds get to this place? You're reading about it right here. Did you know in Genesis 6 and verse number 5, if we're wondering, well, how important is what we think? I mean, you know, how important is that? Well, God destroyed an entire civilization because of their thought pattern. Their thoughts, Jesus said, their thoughts were only evil continually. Read it in Genesis 6:5.
Why is this mind then so important? Why is our thought pattern important? Why is this the battleground? And it's not only the battleground, it's the prize. Why is that the prize and the battleground? Because, and here's some reasons. Number one, God communicates to us through our minds. That's how He talks to you. Ephesians chapter number 4 describes that, verse 17 through 18. And I'll just give you these verses. Let me flip over there real quick and we'll read that. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. He communicates to us through our minds. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind or the emptiness of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness or promiscuous lifestyles. But notice this, their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You understand that God communicates to us through our minds? And in so doing, He says, listen, church at Ephesus, listen, don't get back in this thinking pattern and this thought pattern. I believe it was A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Alliance Church and a tremendous Bible scholar. I've got several of his books. Anyway, he made a statement I'll never forget. He said this. He said, it is untold or unestimated the power of a common thought in the minds of tens of thousands of people. Whether that thought is right or wrong, there's a power behind common thought. And we see it today, don't we? When you have tens of thousands of people that's got the same thought, and that thought may be as horrible and foolish and ignorant and against God and against life and against logic, that thought can be there, but tens of thousands of people agree with it, so we'll do it. Now, we have examples all around us today of that very thing. Look at this transgender craze. Look at that. Hey, I'm going to be a girl today. Oh, really? Yeah. I'm going to be a boy today. That's what I'm going to be. There was, and by the way, you can research this. I've got some of the research back there in my files. There was never a finding from the American Academy of Psychiatry, that this transgenderism and homosexualism, both of them, they labeled it as a mental disorder. There was never scientific information that changed that. Never, ever, ever. Never that it was ever changed medically, scientifically, through any kind of research. You know why it changed? Tens of thousands of people with, we want to do this. This is what we want to do, so we're going to do it. And the more we have thinking that way, even as foolish as it is, we're going to go that way. To now, medical science has just stood back and said, well, go ahead. We can make more money doing these surgeries and doing these things. We can make more money, so just go ahead. Think what you want to think, and we'll go along with you. Wait till the lawsuits start. If they ever do, they will. And all of the malpractice suits start, and things get going, because people have come to this place where their mind, as Ephesians says, is just totally darkened. God communicates to us through our minds, and when our minds are full of the wrong thing, it is hard to get in there, even for God the Holy Ghost. Now listen. Now, another reason that the warfare is here is that God not only communicates to us through our mind, but He changes me. And He changes you by changing your mind. Yeah. Romans 12, 1 and 2, remember that? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or it's your spiritual worship, and be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed. transformed by doing what? By the renewing of my mind. We were in Ephesians 4 a minute ago in verse 23 in that same chapter, Ephesians 4 and 23. Look what he says right here. He says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12, 2, transformed. Ephesians 4, renewed in the spirit of your mind. How does God change me? He changes my mind. He communicates right here. He changes right here. So whoever, let's sum it all up by saying this, whoever controls your mind and controls your thought pattern is what you are going to be. Proverbs 23, I believe it's verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Isaiah 26 and 3 is another verse that goes there. Romans 8, 6 right there tells us that our minds are the control point of the rest of us. And whoever controls your mind, not only is it the battleground, but it is also the prize. Whoever controls that mind will control you. So the warfare is against our minds, what we think, because we eventually become what we think. Someone has said it this way, and they're so right. They are so right. Even companies, large manufacturing companies, took this principle. It's a biblical principle that was given to us in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And they said, if we can control the thinking pattern of people, then we will control their production, we'll control their actions, because thoughts produce actions. It doesn't matter, it matters not what actions you're wanting. If you put the thoughts in there, those thoughts are the what produces the action. So if you get a person's mind filled with good thoughts, good actions will follow. Thoughts produce actions. Actions will eventually produce habits. And habits result in the character or the lack thereof of a person. But it all begins with what we put in here. Begins with how we think. And as we begin thinking, we will eventually begin acting what is there. You realize our founding fathers, they knew so much more than most know today. They knew that if they could govern and govern what was being placed in the minds of the kids, and if they could take this word and put that in their mind, that's the reason you have Harvard and Yale and Princeton. These were schools founded to train preachers and missionaries. If we can get the word of God in them, then our children will begin acting out the Word of God. And as they act out the Word of God, they will be better citizens. We'll build a great country because they're learning and they're beginning to think and they're governed by the principles of God's Word. And that's the pattern. That's what they thought. Actions, thoughts first, actions, habits, and then character. And when you end up with civilization that has no character, when you end up with folks that's in leadership here in America and even in Canada, where they say, hey, take this child, let us have them. We'll get them out from under mom and dad. We'll get them out from under the authority of the church. We don't want that. We want them to be under our control. The warfare. The prize is the mind. The battleground is the mind. And whoever controls the mind controls you. That's the way it is. That's the reason it's so important. These Sunday nights is so very, very important that we tell our kids, well, this place, literally, it ought to be full of families sitting here and saying, man, preacher, tell us how on earth we can keep our kids from going in that direction. Tell us how we can keep them from even thinking about changing their gender. How can keep them from getting into this pattern? Tell us what we can do. Well, the Word of God has it. It has it here. Now, let me give you another thing real quickly. We're going to leave here in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number, let's read down through verse number 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, where did the disobedience come in? The disobedience came in because of what came in here, and what came in here produced the actions, and the actions were disobedient. Let me tell you it like this. Our flesh, our natural person, the old flesh as we call it, the fallen nature, does not produce the right thought pattern. It just won't do it. There's a part of us that likes sin. We like to listen to the hiss of the serpent. We like that. And that part of you, your flesh, will not produce a right thought pattern. You have to go totally against the flesh to get the right thought pattern, but that's what God does. That's why He changes your mind. He changes your heart. He puts His Spirit in you to give you the right thought pattern. He's not standing up there. God's not standing up there and says, now, think this. Think that. This is what you should do. You've got the commandments. The law did that. It showed us how bad of sinners we were. The law tells us thou shalt not do this, that, and the other. The law tells us that. And our weakness, as Paul said, is in the flesh. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. What am I going to do? And God said, that's the reason. Jesus is coming, and Jesus will die on the cross, and He'll pay your sin debt. And you can believe upon Him and you'll be set free, as Romans 6 says, from the power of sin and Satan. And my Holy Spirit will live in you. And when my Spirit moves in you, then you're crucified with Christ. The old Adam nature, it doesn't control anymore, doesn't have to, because flesh won't produce the right thought pattern, so the Spirit does that. You see, And let me say something here too. We're not, when we think of about our bodies. Now your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We know that, don't we? We're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. My body is really a neutral thing. I can either be controlled by the Holy Spirit or controlled by the devil and the world. I'll be controlled by sin and Satan, or controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's my body. The mind, the battleground, who's going to control that? Who's going to take that over? The answer is not just in education or legislation or even our environment, because all of those were perfect in Genesis 3, wasn't it? Didn't they have a perfect environment? Adam and Eve, perfect environment? Absolutely. They had a perfect lawgiver, the Lord Jesus Himself, God. I mean, if there was legislation, all He gave them was one prohibition, that you can't eat of this one tree. God had given everything else. Environment was perfect. They were perfect in education. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but did you know that Grandfather Adam and Grandmother Eve, they were the smartest. They truly were. They were the most intelligent individuals before the fall of any human being ever. Solomon, in all his wisdom, paled to insignificance when compared to Grandfather Adam before the fall. He was Mr. Encyclopedia. He named all the animals and in their name gave them, in essence, described what their nature is. Talk about somebody to communicate with animals, he could do it. He was that intelligent. He was that educated. God made him perfect, gave him the perfect education. He didn't have to go to school for it. God gave him the perfect mind, the perfect education, perfect legislation. He had everything perfect and still failed. That says to you and I, we need the power of the Holy Spirit living in us and giving us and putting, dwelling on this Word, and this Word dwelling in us. We need that. Now, Lord willing, next week we're going to talk about the weapons of our fight. What do we fight with? What do we fight with? There's plenty. But I want to leave you with this here. We must resist. James says it this way, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Our problem is we won't resist. We just either submit, you know, we'll give in to whatever somebody says in the world. Well, you wouldn't stand against us and so would you? Well, yes, we will. Yes, we will. You know, I was reading something out of World War II that I had heard, but I never read all the details, but I read some of it today. There were several Japanese soldiers that after the Japanese had surrendered to MacArthur and the war was over, there were several of them that didn't know the war was over, and they wouldn't surrender. I read about one, he didn't surrender till 1972, and they finally, he stayed in the jungles of Guam, and they finally convinced him. He was a sergeant. They convinced him the war is over. Surrender. And I saw a photo of him. He had his head in his hands and sitting in a wheelchair, and he was crying. He said, "This is so shameful for me. The war had been over since 1945 and 1972. He said, "This is so shameful for me to surrender. I'd rather die than not please my supreme commander." And I thought, golly. Then there was another one in 1974 that was in one of the islands of the Philippines. And he never would surrender. Two Filipino fishermen actually captured him and wrestled him down before he could shoot him. 1974, 29 years after World War II had ended. 29 years. They wrestled him down and he still wouldn't surrender. They said, "Man, war is over. I've not been told that." Finally, they tape recorded. They went back to who his... He said, "Till my commanding officer tells me that I'm to surrender, I will not surrender." You know, of course, they've captured him. I mean, but they got in touch with the commander was still alive, and he recorded the command to surrender, that Japan had surrendered and the war was over. And they played that recording where this Japanese soldier could hear it. And the description says he cried and he said, "Since my commander says the war is over and I'm to surrender, then I do surrender." And he turned in his rifle and like 200 rounds of ammunition. Can you imagine? 29 years old. He turned it in. And I thought, and both of them made this statement, "We're so ashamed. I'd rather died in the battle than surrendered and displeased." Because they thought, the Japanese emperor was thought of as God. Now, he wasn't, but that was their religion. They thought of him as God. But you and I know who the true and living God is, don't we? We know who he is. We know how powerful he is. We know that he created us. We know he holds the worlds in existence. We know he can do everything. We know he is God, and beside him there are none others. Then how on God's green earth can we not have that determination? Hey, I'm not going to surrender to the rash, to the old devil. I won't surrender my kids. I won't surrender our young people. I won't surrender the families here in Bristol and Virginia. I won't surrender them to the devil. No, no, no. I'm going to fight tooth and toenail for them. I won't give up till the commander tells me to give up. And by the way, your commander has already won. Hallelujah. And we have the victory in Christ Jesus. We already have it. So we're stronger than ever, not weaker than ever. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. I love you. Let's pray. All of us, if you want to come to the altar, you can. But let's gather, let's pray together in unison that, Lord, please let us be strong in the Lord. Keep guard our minds, guard our thoughts. Proverbs puts it like this: guard your hearts, for out of it are the issues of life, and they are. Guard our hearts, guard our minds, guard our thoughts. Lord, do it. And let me be strong for my children, my grandchildren, for my neighbor's kids, for our kids here in the church. Let me be strong. Father, help us, we do pray. Lord, we bow before you. We want to intercede on behalf of the families here in Bristol and the families around the country, around the nation, Father, when we see people thinking things that are totally irrational, we see them contemplating things that are absolutely against medical science. There's no science proven that can ever support what is being thought of today. And oh God, we know the true and living God. We know how He made us. We know He did make us. And we ask You to fill us with Your fire and Your spirit and Your power. Control our minds. Control our thought patterns. Help us to dwell on the Word of God and hide it in our hearts and our minds so that our minds would be a spiritual computer and would instantly bring to our thought what we need when we're facing these attacks. Help us, Lord Jesus, more than ever. Thank You for the power of the Word of God. Thank You for the power of God the Holy Ghost. You didn't depend upon us, Lord, because we're weak and flesh can never do right. We're not. You didn't depend upon us. You gave us Your Spirit that through the power of the Holy Spirit we would accomplish these things. And You would accomplish it in us and we would be victorious over everything that we face. We're more than conquerors. We're made to triumph in everything. That's who we are because Jesus is in us. Thank You, Lord. We love You. We praise You, Father. Let these Sunday night meetings be of extreme importance to our families and to You, dear Lord. And put Your Spirit and power and anointing on them more than ever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, church. I love You. Thank You for being here.